Well, good morning, Cloverdale Baptist Church. It is a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Thank you to our worship team for leading us this morning. I would like to begin our time together this morning with a word of prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We come to this place today, Lord, to praise you, to glorify you. And now, Father, as we go into your word, as we read the precious words that you have given to us, Lord, change us how you would like. Remind us where we have forgotten and encourage us where we have fallen down. And so, Father, would you be pleased with us this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Picture this. It's a rainy day. You're driving in your car, and suddenly the truck in front of you slams their brakes on. You're going to hit it. It's going to be bad. But at the very last second, somehow, you swerve into an open lane next to you, and you're safe. Oh, the relief that washes over your body. What do you think about in that moment? The small worries of the day instantly seem meaningless, and what you value will come to mind. I'm alive. I'm okay. I may be late for work, but it doesn't matter. Moments like those are what I call startling reminders. Startling reminders. Our next moment, yours and mine, is not guaranteed. In fact, the Bible in the book of James compares our life to a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Just one of many startling reminders in the Word of God. Probably the most startling reminder in my life came through the life of one of my friends named Tim. When I first heard of Tim, his was just the name written on the whiteboard next to mine on our to-be-shared dorm room. Yes, we were going to be roommates at Bible College in Edmonton. And later that day, we met for the first time, roomed together for a year, and how do I say this? It was not an overly successful match. Maybe you've had a similar roommate experience. We had many differences, even from different countries. We liked the room set up in different ways. That's how it goes. But by the end of the year, we learned to live with one another. And rather than having to break in a new roommate, we decided to room together for a second year, this time by choice. Turned out to be a great decision. The second year, we got along together. We played basketball together. We became good friends. The experiment had succeeded. And at the end of that year, I graduated. Tim had one more year, and so we parted, even having plans of visiting each other's homes in the future. And as both he and I wanted to go into pastoral ministry, he as a worship pastor, myself in youth ministry, we dreamed that perhaps, if it's in God's will, maybe we would be on pastoral staff together one day. And so we parted. I went to seminary, which for those of you who don't know what that is, it's like pastor's school. I went to seminary in BC. He stayed in Edmonton for his final year at Bible College. Things seemed good. The next year, it was about two-thirds of the way over. It was March 17th, 2006. It was a Friday night. I received an emergency email, I'll never forget it, saying that my friend Tim had suffered a brain aneurysm while playing football on campus, and he collapsed. It was devastating. I don't think I will ever forget that day. By God's grace, Tim did not die that day. The doctor said he should have been dead. They didn't know why he was alive. They also said they couldn't guarantee there wasn't another one coming at any time. In fact, there was a good chance that there might be. But God had kept my friend Tim alive. And through this experience, Tim's focus was even further sharpened to glorify God. He had had one of those startling reminders, and it pushed him closer to the Lord. He would try to do God's will with whatever time he had left. And so he did. After a break to heal, he came back. He finished Bible college. He went to a different seminary, the different one that I had gone to. He got married. He had 3 kids and dedicated his life to pastoral ministry. Praise God. Now, there is more to Tim's story, and we'll circle around to it at the end of our message today. But what I want you to see is how, in our lives, we will have startling reminders. And they can happen, really, at any time. All it takes is a phone call telling us some bad news, or a close call in traffic can wake us up to reality. But where do the reminders push our focus? And this is key. When we have a startling reminder, where does it drive us? And our reactions can be, well, very different. A close call in the car may, for one person, push them to buy ice cream that day because life is just too short for this diet. For another person, it may push them to apologize to their spouse about that disagreement that morning. The phone call that a friend is ill may, for one person, remind them to serve God. But for another, it may just remind them they have limited time left to pursue their hobby or to live for their own pleasure on this earth. This morning, we're going to look at those reminders that we get here. Those reminders that we get from the Word of God. And how important, no, let me say vital it is to be constantly going back to the book given to us by our God so that we can see the truth about this life and the next and how to live according to God's plan for His glory. And we know that any reminders from the Word of God are perfect, infallible, and vital to each one of our lives. Startling reminders. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, please turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. The book of 2 Peter. And we're going to be in the first chapter. Peter's going to show us that how we live now is so important. That while we are still here, knowing that life could be over at any moment, we are to live our lives making every effort to live for God's glory, while, as Peter says, we still draw breath. That we are to seek God's word over and over for our own good, and also to be grace-filled reminders to others of God's plan for our lives. So this morning, as we're about to read our text, let this text encourage you if you have been debating whether or not to be a loving reminder of God's word to someone else. Let this text remind you of the shortness of life. And let this text startle you if you have fallen away from reading and obeying God's word. So let's read together 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. In this passage, Peter, who has been talking about salvation in the previous 11 verses, drops in a statement about the importance of saturating God's people with God's word over and over through reminders, a common theme in Scripture. In fact, in Deuteronomy, a familiar passage there, we are commanded to be reminded of God's truth again and again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Talk about reminders. You and I need reminders from the Word of God, for we are a forgetful people. So Peter writes these words, and later again in the same book, in chapter 3, he says, this is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Reminders can be vital. When I say something is vital, I mean absolutely necessary. Peter says in verse 12, therefore, I always intend to remind you of these qualities. Now, as Pastor Rob has taught us, whenever you see the word therefore, you ask, well, what is it there for? And in this context, therefore refers back to what has been said about how great salvation is and that assurance of salvation is available. In fact, many scholars will say there's no reason to restrict this to what has been said, but can be extended to the rest of the letter as well. These are the words of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Vital, that means absolutely necessary to our lives as Christians. Peter did not want his readers to forget, and so he says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Peter is saying these things are so important. You must not forget them. Live your lives in light of them. Let them affect every moment of every day. Some reminders, they're not vital. Some reminders are important. And some reminders have eternal consequences. That is what we have here. So Peter says, I will always remind you of these things. Repetition is all over Scripture. The good news of the gospel is repeated all over the New Testament. Jesus repeated his messages in sermons, in parables, in object lessons everywhere he went, exposing his followers to the truth again and again. It's a crucial part of the training of the 12. In fact, any preacher who is privileged to teach a congregation is doing just this, reminding the people of God, the body of Christ, of what God has said in his word. It is vitally important. Are you and I ready and prepared to do this in the lives of those around us? Do we know the word of God well enough to give vital reminders from God's word as Peter did? Second thing we see here is that reminders are needed for all. They're needed for all. He says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. In our society, maybe in our homes, when someone reminds us of things over and over, what do we call it? Nagging sometimes, yeah? Oh, you told me again and again. Feels like maybe the person thinks we're too dense to get it. And we begin to perhaps tune them out, saying, well, I already know that. But the motivation that Peter is operating with here is not to nag. It is to shepherd. He has responsibility that he feels deeply, and he wants the very best for those under his care. He knew this was already familiar to them, and he says they are established in the truth. But we all need reminders, even when we know stuff. One thing we know about this letter, 2 Peter, is that it was written to combat, to fight against false teachers and false teaching. And so certainly we can say that these reminders of the truth would have been so important, vital, as they fought the false teaching that was around. If you or I, and I fall into this category as well, if you or I have been to church most or all of our lives, let us not be those that say, I don't need to hear that again. I already know the gospel. I know about that principle from Scripture. Let us not be those people. Let us not be guilty of pride. Let us not underestimate the word of God, but let us be like those under Peter's care, willing to hear and be taught, strengthened, and reminded. Because what are we being reminded of? The infallible, perfect, effective word of God. These reminders, not in vain. Reminders can startle us. Reminders can startle us. Verse 13, I think it right, as long as I am in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder. If you've read through Scripture, if you've noticed the passages which have the disciples in them, the 12, you'll see how often Peter is with Jesus. Peter was the seeming leader of the 12, and even he had moments where he needed reminders. And let's just say this, he got startling reminders. Think about that famous story of his denying Jesus. Denying Jesus 3 times before the rooster crowed while Jesus was in custody waiting to be crucified. Peter had personal experience. He knew firsthand that just because you'd be considered a mature Christian, it doesn't mean that you are beyond needing reminders. In fact, sometimes you need them more. Because we as humans have a tendency to get comfortable with something we've been in for a while. The startling, dare I say, shocking truth of the gospel can lose that shock value, it seems. One of my favorite preachers pleads in one of his sermons. He says, when you read texts like he loved you and gave himself for you, you wouldn't go too fast over it. He says, linger, 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 and plead with him, with God, that your eyes would be opened. Plead with him. We can see this need for reminders, not just in Peter, but remember when Jesus questions another of the 12, Philip, one of his disciples, he says, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? It is sometimes necessary to be startled back to fresh eyes on the gospel. Just like when you're in a car and nearly killed, but you escape unscathed, things come into clearer focus. Just like when your good friend suffers from a brain aneurysm, or your child is sick, or tragedy hits, we're snapped back to the important things. As Christians, we too need reminders from the Word of God. From the Word of God. Of the fact that the Son of God has loved us, His enemies, and made a way for us to be saved by grace. Praise God. Praise God. Peter, so full of love and hope for his readers, writes that he will do this thing that is right as long as he is in this body. As long as God gives him earthly life, Peter wants to be faithful, to stir up those the Lord has put in his life by way of reminder. To stir up means to wake up, to be alert, to startle, to be suddenly shocked. Peter does not want to have it on his conscience that he let the believers become sluggish. No. If they have fallen into passivity, they must be awakened, have their eyes opened. This is no information that can be sort of just listened to and put away. This is eternally valuable information. The startling reminders, the vital reminders needed by all in God's word. Reminders. Wake up, Peter says. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. As long as I am alive, Peter says, I will declare to you reminders of the things of God. He says, as your shepherd, the one who has responsibility for you. So I know this matters. Wake up. Be startled. Be stirred up for God's glory because of the greatness of the salvation he has given to you. Peter will not give up on faithfully teaching and reminding those he loves of the commands of Scripture. It does not matter that they have already heard and know. Reminders are necessary to apply that truth, to live it. And the more it stirs you up, the more it startles you, the more it was needed. Peter doesn't know how much time he has. And that moves him ever more to declare it now. Verse 14 says, since I know, Peter says, I know that the putting off of my body, his death, will be soon. As our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. We'll catch that in a second. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Peter believed firmly his death was going to happen soon, at any time. Here he gives an analogy for death as the putting off of his body. And by the time this letter was written, he was in his 70s. And in that time of the world, it was reasonable to think that he would not live much longer. And Peter says he believes this because of something Jesus said to him. He says, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. This is from a passage in John 21, verses 18 to 19. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus here predicting that Peter would have his hands stretched out, that he would be crucified, that he would be martyred for his faith. Jesus said this 40 years before 2 Peter was written. So Peter had been serving faithfully for 40 years, expecting at any moment to be killed for his faith. There's a good sort of desperation here, I think. Serve God today. And as usual, the saying of C.T. Studd comes to mind for me, missionary C.T. Studd. He said, only one life, will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Peter was living in the expectancy of his own death. How many of us can say that as we live day to day? In view of the short nature of his life and ministry, Peter said he will make every effort to remind believers of the truth, so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. The apostle uses the term departure to refer to his death. It refers to leaving one place to go to another. Peter would be leaving earth to go to heaven. Note, Peter doesn't say so you can remember me when I'm gone. But he desperately wants them to remember him, Jesus, in his word, after he dies. While I still draw breath, he says, while I still draw breath, I will firmly, lovingly, hopefully point you to Jesus. What a thing to declare. I want you to follow Jesus. I hope that my life drives you there. I want to give you reminders because I love you. So how do we apply what we've learned from this passage? I've prayed the Holy Spirit would be working in your heart and mind, that you would be listening as we have gone through this text. The first thing I think we can see here is that we need to remember what we've forgotten. Remember what you have forgotten. Peter had taught his readers vitally important spiritual things, and he was reminding them of these things so that they would not fall back into sin, that they would not be taken in by the false teaching of the day. Is that you? Is that us? Have we started out strong, on fire for Jesus, all in for Jesus, and have now forgotten the one who has saved you and loved you? Is that you? Is that us? If so, it is time to remember. And if you have fallen into sin, to confess and to repent. Remember, repent, and then go on and live for Christ. Let this passage today out of 2 Peter wake you up. If you need to be woken up, wake up. Wake up. Let the word of God this morning jog your memory. Let it be a startling, wonderful, grace-filled reminder of who it is who has paid the price for you, who you belong to. And then go from this day living with every ounce for Jesus. Second thing, be a reminder like Peter, a repeater. Be a reminder like Peter. The Apostle Paul, like Peter, taught in his letters to be an example, to live in a way that is an example, a reminder of what Christ desires for us as we follow him. Philippians 4, verse 9, Paul says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me," let me read that again. "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me," he says, "let me be an example." He says, "Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." It goes hand in hand that if we want to invite others to look at our life and then to live that way, we must be living our lives following Christ. We can't be a do as I say, not as I do. We must be a do as I say and I do people. To be a reminder like Peter, we must be determined, committed, and ready to follow Jesus with our words and our actions. And this is not something based on age. It is not that if you're farther along in life, you have gained the ability to be a reminder to others. No. If you know the Word of God, be that reminder. If you're a kid, be a reminder. If you're in high school, be a reminder. Seek God's word. Love God's word. Teach God's word. Live God's word, whatever age you are. The third thing, be thankful for the reminders. Be thankful for the reminders. If you're like me, you can sometimes forget to be thankful. Growing up, probably most of us had parents that would say, "Hey, don't forget. Say thank you." But when we get older, we can forget to stop and say thanks. I am thinking here of those you have in your lives who are your reminders. Those men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, who provide a powerful Christ-honoring example and maybe even come to you in times of struggle and give you gentle, loving correction and counsel. Perhaps they hold you accountable and encourage you to remember to whom you belong. Give thanks to God for them. Let them know you're thankful and thus encourage them. Of course, they are sinners too, saved by grace, but they're also blessings given to us by God to help us follow him. Wonderful, grace-filled reminders. And when you pray, give thanks to God for the reminder he has given to us in his word. What an amazing thing to say to God. Thank you, God, for giving us your word. Thank you for not leaving us. We love you. At the start of our message today, I told you there was more to my college roommate Tim's story. And there is. As I said, Tim went on to seminary himself. He got married, had 3 children, became a pastor, and loved to lead people to honor Christ with the word and with music. He served for 8 years, longing for Christ to be honored in his life, like Peter said, as long as he was in this body. But remember, I said that Tim lived with what the doctor said was a chance. There was another brain aneurysm coming. And on October 7th, 2018, this servant of Christ and one of those who gave me reminders of how to follow Jesus went to be with his Savior as that second aneurysm finally did come on a quiet afternoon. And I miss our phone calls and emails, but I am thankful. It was a startling reminder to me of the necessity to live for Christ now through a man who did it in his own life. None of us know the time we have left. We don't. So let's use this text today, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to startle us if we need it. If we have been sitting back saying, I can serve God another day, don't wait. Let this remind you of what you have forgotten. If you are someone who is in the Word, let this text drive you to become a loving, grace-filled reminder to those around you. And be thankful for the reminders that God has given to us in his Word, through his church, through the faithful teaching of his Word, and for those Christ-honoring people that God has put into our lives to remind and encourage us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminders you have given to us. Thank you for the way that you have so lovingly cared for us and promised to do so in the future. God, help us to live for you each day. And where we need reminders, Lord, please give them to us. We thank you for our church. Lord, help us to be a church that faithfully reminds, that faithfully teaches, that faithfully proclaims the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this time today in your word. We ask that we would not leave this place and forget, but be reminded of whose we are and how we are to live. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.